second hour, Darren Donick and Chase live at Hawkins Field here on this gorgeous Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside. Willie will join us a little bit later this hour. He's down in Dallas with the Predators and Stars tonight. A puck drop at 7:30. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves, and I'll have pregame for you starting at 6:30. It is a little weird that we're here on the campus of Vanderbilt and Willie is not with us. But the athletics director is, Dr. Candace Story Lee, is here in the press box with us. It is good to see you in person.
In person.
Well, I mean, I've seen you in person, but I mean, we've never done like an interview.
I know, and Willie's not here.
And Willie's not
here. That's all right. I'm glad y'all are here, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's we're happy to be here, and there's a lot going on right now.
There is.
The women played they started their season. So let's start there.
Sure.
So they get a win last night, and I want to start there because I've followed, the program at Vanderbilt, women's basketball program, since I've been here almost 25 years. Mm-hmm. You kind of know that program quite well. It's dipped in interest. What is it going to take to get the interest level back to when you were playing in the days when people were talking about it all the time? And especially if the Lady Vols came into town. I mean, it was a big to-do.
It was.
And it's been a while since we've had those conversations, Candace. So how does that happen? Is it just simply winning? I don't believe that, though.
I think winning is certainly I wouldn't downplay the significance of winning, right? So the product on the court is a big piece of it. But I also think that, in general, we just need to get back to creating special moments for fans and connections with our young people. Like, I remember when I played, I felt like I knew the fan base.
Really?
You know, it felt personal. And I do think that even as we continue to grow and evolve, having those touch points is still important. Jerry Stackhouse had an event with the men's basketball program on Sunday at Topgolf. That was one of the things that he said he wanted to do, was create opportunities for people to get to know these kids. They're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Our staff is phenomenal. Our student athletes are phenomenal. So I think we will continue to do that in women's basketball too. It starts with also having the right leader. You know, when I played here, Jim Foster was incredible in so many ways. Mm-hmm. He was the right leader. I think we now have the right leader for this time, for this era, in Shea Ralph. That too is a part of it, right? And it starts with changing the culture. So there are many, many pieces. I was really excited for the win that she got last night because it's been a long time since those young women have experienced victory in so many ways, including on the court.
Yeah.
So that was a big step. But she's building, and I know what that is. I understand what that looks like. I would also say to you that the bar was not set when I played. Like, we expect to surpass that, but it was pretty tremendous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I to date myself, I remember watching you.
And then you're dating both of us. You know that.
I wanted to put it in my lap, is what I was trying to do.
I appreciate that. I'm just kidding.
I was telling her before we came on the air that, I would come as a kid. I grew up in that gym.
I mean, he made it sound like decades, right?
Sure. He's
like, and then he goes, and I watched you. Like, he was a kid watching me. He did say that, and I didn't even correct him.
So he's like, I remember having cotton candy and lodging.
Good times at Memorial Gym.
Oh, absolutely. And they're coming back, too.
Well, last thing on that front, then. What you brought up Shea Ralph. So what was it about her that you knew she was the right person to take the reins moving forward?
So when I let Stephanie White go, the first thing I did was, after doing that, I talked with our student-athletes about what they felt like they needed. I had a pretty good idea, but I wanted to hear directly from them so that they could – be a part of this new culture and the process. And I knew that they needed a firm hand, but with a soft touch. We need somebody that is strong, X's and O's, like on the floor, but they also needed somebody that was just going to help develop them off the court too. Love on them, be tough on them, have some standards. No one should read into that, our previous coach didn't do that. It's not meant to slight our previous coach. It was clearly time for a change. But I would say that I knew that Shea was the ultimate competitor. I also know she cares deeply for people. That's part of our ethos. You know, I knew that she would fit well into our community. And I will tell you, because I said the same thing when we hired our other two new head coaches last year, that the camaraderie among our head coaches is really special. And so I also take that into consideration, how they're going to fit into, because we have some of the best coaches mm-hmm. in the country,
yeah.
right? And so that, like, it's important that we also keep that mojo where it is, and having strong leaders. So the people that fit Vanderbilt are people who are committed to developing young people. They understand that the sport is an extension of the education. They care deeply. They're fiercely competitive. They operate with integrity, and they care for one another in this community. She checked all of those boxes easily.
By the way, I wasn't surprised that Coach Stack had his event at Topgolf.
I mean,
the man likes to play golf.
Man, it's debatable how good he is. That's what I heard.
Well, see, that's where I was going.
That's what I heard. Now, you know, that's my guy, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you. And as someone who only excels at putt-putt, I cannot really comment. I cannot really
what
comment.
What is excelling at putt-putt? What is what's your handicap?
Oh, listen, when I say excel, I mean excelling in talking trash and every now and then hitting the ball in the hole.
Okay.
I'm not talking about scores here, my friend. I'm not talking about that.
So your standards are a little lower.
It's about fun.
I wouldn't say low. I would say different.
That's a good way of putting it. We saw him at Vanderbilt Legends on, what was that, probably early September for Brent Peterson's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause he was there, obviously doing great work for Parkinson's disease.
And yes,
he was. Coach Stack was there. I didn't see him actually play a hole, but I mean, I saw him out on the course, and I was like, man, I know he loves to play golf, but I wonder really how good he is. He's a tremendous athlete
tremendous competitor. So the thing is, like, you just know he'll continue to work at it because he's so competitive. You can't be that type of elite athlete and not see that, even if it's not in basketball, right? Even if it's in golf.
Yeah. So how is he handled? Because he wants to win, you know, and like any crazy competitor.
That's right.
He wants to win at a high level, and I'm sure he's not been satisfied with the level of winning that they've done. So how does he internally handle that? Because he is a fierce competitor, and he wants to win everything. So how is he – because this is now year
– This is year three.
Three?
This is year three.
I was going to say, it's either three or four. It's flying by.
It is, and COVID really does mess with the calendar there. I know.
Get lost in the shuffle with that. So how has he handled that, and how does he feel about this upcoming season that starts tonight?
Well, I think you all are going to speak to him today, right?
Oh, are we
talking to him? Or
I think we were trying, but he's
Let me talk for him. No, I was going to say I certainly don't want to speak for him, but you know, I spend a lot of time with Jerry and with all of our coaches, and I think that part of how he's dealt with it is that, like, he understands the importance of culture.
Yeah.
Right, and team dynamics really matter. And he has created a culture that I think he is now confident in, right? Added some pieces where we had gaps. Even just watching them in practice, I mean, those kids, from the moment that he's taken over this program, they have played very hard for mm-hmm. him. I think there's no question there, and there's no question about the effort. While we may have had gaps in places, it does take time to fill those gaps. I think that he's excited about the pieces that he has, and I feel like one of the hallmarks of a Jerry Stackhouse coach team is that those teams get better over time. And so the team that you see in November is not the same team that you see in February.
Right.
He is clearly a developer of talent. He has a great eye for the game. I mean, you can't be what he's been, mm-mm. right, and not have that.
Nope.
But he also connects well with these young people. That's a big, big part of it. And they love playing for him. I also like his staff a lot. Yeah. You know, I think that's something, especially when you're making that transition to college and it's a new opportunity, you have to also figure out staff, like what works for you, how you want to structure it, you know, infrastructure and all those things behind the scenes, those things matter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I'm excited for him because it feels to me, he feels – when I watch him talk and operate, he's confident. He's excited. He is genuinely excited about this year. The energy, you could hardly contain him at the Top Golf event. I mean, he was excited, and he wants to be here.
Okay, so why? Because I'll just be full disclosure. Sure. I mean, I'll just let you know.
Sure.
I had serious doubts. Like, he won't be here long. This will be quick. In fact, I if you would have asked me in year one, would we be talking about year three? I'd have been like, no.
You would have said no.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
You know, I think that.
So why does he want to be here?
Yeah, you know, there. So one, I'm gonna say this as much as I can. I have not. I think part of being successful here is that you have to see what is possible.
Yeah.
And then you have to actually believe that your vision can be executed here with the support, with the resources. And he believes that. So the thing about Jerry that I feel like he has suffered from to date is that some people have assumptions about him, perceptions about him, because here's a guy who has no connection to Vanderbilt, right? It's not the same as Patrick Ewing going to Georgetown, right? Or Penny Hardaway at Memphis. Jawan Howard at Michigan.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
one
examples of these things is not like the other, right? Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt. And everybody says, why? But inside, it makes sense to us. He cares deeply for kids. He wants to win. He can put his mark on this program. He cares about community and impact. He cares about what we're doing in our building and what this university is doing and how we're poised to do great things. And now we're actually getting to do them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had breakfast with Tim Corbin this morning, and we spent a significant amount of time talking about Jerry Stackhouse.
Really?
And how he is an awesome part of this community. I think sometimes I have to remind myself that there are just things that I have the good fortune of seeing and knowing that unless you're in it, you don't see. And what I see is a guy who loves basketball. He loves education and the access that it provides. He loves impacting young people, and gosh dang it, he loves to win.
Yeah.
And we can do that here. You know, we can do that here, and we are very candid with one another. We talk very openly. He wants to be here because he knows what this is and also what it can be.
We're talking to Dr. Candace Story Lee, Vanderbilt Athletics Director, and you just led me right where I wanted to go.
Okay.
With Coach Corbin. With everything we're talking about, Coach Lee is new here, but he has the connection. He knows the program.
Right.
You know. Coach Stack, even though it's his third year, I mean, he kind of came in right in the transition, this new era, you taking over, kind of this new beginning for Vanderbilt Athletics and Coach Ralph just coming in. How important has Coach Corbin been, though, of somebody that's been here for a long time, like yourself, of tying it all together and kind of helping them along of, yeah, this is what it's been, but this is what it can be. I mean, this facility right here is a prime example of what it can be and a lot of the hard work that he's put in. So how important has that been?
Well, I think it's essential, right?
By the way, Candace, over the years, whenever he was winning and everybody was coming after him, I was like, yeah, Tim's gone.
I gotta remember you're one of those fair weather believers.
No,
you have a great heart, though. I like you, so I don't want you to think that. But
I don't have your cookies.
You're
I kind of missed the boat on that.
Do you remember what kind?
It was peanut butter.
Yeah, my husband likes chocolate chips, so you weren't way off with that.
I said chocolate chips.
Right, because we are a package, but peanut butter would be for me.
I know, and I would be sharing or trying to get you to look over there and take one. But no, when LSU came, I was like, he's going to take an LSU job. Mm-hmm. He is. But here he sits, what is this year? I don't even know how long it's been.
So, you know, I think that it's essential to have someone like Tim he is a real life example of what is possible.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? He has achieved at the highest level of his sport. I would argue that he is one of the best coaches in all of sports. He's also a tremendous leader. Right? So one, he's like a mentor and example for so many of us in this department, for our coaches. But he also, Just think about what you said, though, right? So you thought that guy was going to go all these places, but he understands what's here.
Mm-hmm. That's been a long time ago, by the way, since I said that.
But, okay.
Long time ago.
But, you know, also, too, you have an opportunity here to make your mark. And we're not here. We don't care about building legacies here. We're trying to have an impact, right? Chase, you talked about being little. And that's your memories, your childhood memories are wrapped up into Vanderbilt. That's impact.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's amazing. And we don't take it for granted. And, you know, that was part of what Tim and I were talking about at breakfast this morning. Just, man, how incredible is it to have an opportunity to influence young people? When you have a platform like Tim's, you get to influence even beyond this beautiful space right here. It's awesome.
I love talking to him, by the way. I could talk to him every single day.
Oh, I could, too.
Like, I just sit back and just...
I feel smarter.
I just
every time I talk to him.
Like, when we talk, every time we have him on, I'm just sitting like this.
Right.
Like,
with your hand up on your face like that?
Just like that.
That's how I looked at breakfast this morning.
Like, I want to build a fire and just have, like, a fireside chat.
And be like, go ahead, coach.
Tim, exactly. You just yours. Just start talking.
But, you know, I mean, I do reference him quite a bit just as a template, right? Because, so when you're talking about transforming a program, you know, and he will talk openly about the early days.
Yeah.
And when you're just coaching culture, right? Mm-hmm. You're coaching culture. You're creating a vision. You're trying to get people to buy into something that they can't see yet. But we had the right coach. Then you give resources, time, and you also get out of the way when you need to.
Well, and he's a prime example, too, of a guy that rolled up his sleeves.
That's right.
And did the work. And Clark's doing it now.
And did the work.
Yeah.
And that's the thing here. Like, you know, we attract people who are not afraid to do the work. I think that's kind of part of our ethos here.
Yeah.
But it's going to ensure the success and sustainable success. That's just part of it.
What has been the feedback from current student athletes and prospective students of, you know, all the announcements and everything financially that's going to go into the facilities, which we've talked to you about that quite a bit.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that everybody would love to go, and there it is, and it's done.
Me too.
But it doesn't happen.
Is that a wand?
There's not a wand, but right.
There's not magic powers, but...
But there's a lot of diligent, excitement. Consistent work that's happening. And again, it's one of those things, like I commented earlier, that I have to remember that, you know, people don't see the every meeting every day.
Yeah.
And all the things that are happening. And the fact that the architects are across the street right now meeting. And I'll leave here and I'll go back into that room and we'll just keep working. Because it does require that level of detail, right? The response has been tremendous. I've been particularly excited for current athletes who, you know, they already have self-selected to be here because they believe in the experience, and now they get to be excited because they know it's going to get even better, right? Prospective student athletes who are like, okay, Vanderbilt is for real.
Yeah.
Alums, regardless of age, who say, whew, like, yeah, it, you know, in some ways, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Sidewalk alums and fans who, cause, you know, part of it is you're still challenged by that narrative of like, you don't care, lack of investment. And it's like, I can't do anything about historically the conclusions that people have drawn, but I do know what we're doing now.
Yeah. I know, right? We've talked to you about that.
Yeah. Sure. And I mean, and it's part of it. You know, you don't, you know, one of the things you sit in the seat, you inherit everything that comes with the seat. Right? So I understand that. But meanwhile, when we get done, I'm going to go back across the street and finish meeting with the architects so we can continue this work. And it's been tremendous. But, you know, the reality is that every single person that's connected with Commodore Nation deserves this. And if I could flip a switch, I would. But there's sequencing. We have to prioritize. We have to do all the non-sexy stuff, like deal with the sewer line and, you know, make sure there's going to be power to that new pretty building and that kind of thing. But it's coming and it's exciting, and the response has been great.
In my mind, I think one of the most important but also most difficult things is you want to get new, you want to get current, but you want to preserve history too.
That's right.
Like Memorial Gym.
Like Memorial's a great
this
example.
This stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose that, but you know they obviously need things done to them.
Sure.
They need work. So what is the balance of, you know, outside of just blowing them both up, building these new state-of-the-art things, but also keeping that pun intended, Memorial magic, and then with the stadium?
Well, I think, you know, so Memorial is a good example. So if you were in the gym last night, or if you'll, you know, if you're going to join us tonight, which I hope many people do, you will notice that there's additional ribbon boards, there's more LED displays, there's monitors in the corner, there's audio piped in, there's new concessions, there's new... So it's just, that's just a step, right? We have much more work to do. But I think that's an example of... I was talking to an alum last night at the game who said, man, I love the wooden bleachers. There's so many things about Memorial I love. But, dang, it's kind of nice to see, like, the fancy pixels in the corner and the stats and the, you know. And we used last night to really try to work some of those kinks out because technology is not always our friend. But, you know, that's just an example, right? And so I do think that finding that sweet spot is important, right? But historic, you can preserve history but still have new amenities and modernize the experience for people, right? So we're, you know, we are really trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up with a couple really hard-hitting questions.
Uh-oh.
Let's do it.
She's ready for
it. It's not a game of horse. It's a game of Vandy, okay?
Okay.
You versus Stack. Who wins a game of Vandy?
Ooh.
Like I said, it's not horse.
I mean,
your letters are V-A-N-D-Y.
The thing about playing horse or Vandy, you know, you can do any shot, right? So I feel like Stack would try to dunk, and then Stack would do all kind of crazy stuff. And seeing as how this is day eight of me not walking on a cane, I just think it would be unfair. That's one. Two, he's a former NBA player. I am a has-been role player at best. So I will go ahead and acquiesce to him that he would win.
Okay,
that.
But no dunking. No dunking.
No dunking?
No dunking. Just
see, I feel like if this was maybe
creative
like
shooting.
A nice, like, on the block kind of, because I don't think Stack ever played on the block. So, I mean, so I feel like if we didn't do any dunking and no, like, weird half-court shots.
Okay.
I'd probably still lose, but I'd be more competitive. But there's no way I would tell him that. Hopefully he's practicing right now and doesn't hear this.
Free throw shooting contest. Who wins?
Yeah, I only shot like 55% from my career, so he probably
Candace,
would.
What happened?
Could you come up with something that maybe I could? I bet you he can't walk well with a cane.
I was going to do 3-point, but you just told me your free throw shooting.
Wow. The man played in the NBA. I mean, come on. Is this fair?
Stack's pretty money from three.
He also cooks better than me. We all know that. Man. So, I mean, is there something else?
This was a bad experiment. I really thought there was something I could weave in there where you're going to be like, me!
Yeah, you didn't do your homework, did you?
Guess not.
Perhaps next time. But the
layup,
good news.
Layup drill?
Kentucky drill?
The Kentucky drill? I mean, you know, Stack, one of those elite athletes, he probably didn't even care about layup drill, so I could get him there.
Putt-putt?
Putt-putt.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Because
he probably thinks he's too good for putt-putt. Yeah, I got him there.
All right.
I got him there.
Thanks for having us out today.
Oh, I'm so glad you all are here. Yeah. I hope you'll come back.
Yep, we will.
It's pretty cool to
you'll have
from
us.
Here. You are always welcome here, okay. Naysaying and all. But that's old, right?
Look, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just
kidding.
One of those trying to be honest. I'm not going to be phony about it.
I don't want
right?
phony.
I
do not want
no.
it.
I'll just tell you. I mean, I did
want
that.
You to be straight up.
Candace, this is a true story. At SEC Media Days many, many years ago, Rich Brooks was the coach at Kentucky football. Mm-hmm. And when they hired him, I mean, I went on for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, saying, oh, my gosh, this has got to be – like the most ridiculous hire. First, he hadn't been in coaching forever. The last time he was a coach was in the NFL. I was like, what are they doing? Rich Brooks. This is ridiculous. And, of course, we know he did quite well.
Yep.
And I did. Before we started the interview, I said, you don't know me, but, you know, I'm part of a radio show here in Nashville, and – you know, I said you were honestly maybe the worst hire in Kentucky football history.
But you're
and,
like,
and you know what he did?
What did he do?
When you got hired. When
right.
you got
yeah,
hired.
Yeah,
I said, so I just want to say that to your face. Like, you have so proven me wrong. Like, it's like I now look at what I said, and I'm like, man, did you dog me with that? Like, in your face.
Yeah.
And you know what he did? He laughed. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
loved it. Like, he was. He was great about it.
I think, actually, so I know I'm teasing you, but one, I think that, you know, like, we love sports, so we're passionate about what we think, and we share, and we, you know, that's part of
yeah.
it, right? I also appreciate, though, that you're like, when I'm proven wrong, I'll just say I'm wrong. And
no
then
doubt.
You know, you're not taking yourself too seriously. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. yeah.
But when he wins a contest, it's a victory lap.
Yeah, oh, it's all day.
Yeah,
it's
I can. I mean, I can kind of sense
yeah,
that. Yeah.
You're going to know.
There's a lot of that.
Everybody's going
to
know.
You're going to know when I get it right, Candace. But you'll also know when I get it wrong. Good to see you. Thanks for coming
Great.
By.
Thank you so much for having me.
She's the athletics director here at Vanderbilt. Candace Story-Lee. Lee. We appreciate her joining us here live at Hawkins Field. We'll come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.